ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम अज्ञानतिमिर कृष्ण। सो वेलकम ऑल ऑफ यू फॉर दिस इवनिंग भगवद्गीता क्लास। टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम चैप्टर 15 भगवद्गीता टेक्स्ट 7। ममैवांश जीवलोके जीवभूत सनातन मनषष्ठानि इंद्रियाणि प्रकृतिस्थानि कर्षति। Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The living entities in this conditioned world are my eternal fragmental parts. Due to conditioned life, they are struggling very hard with the six senses, which include the mind. Purport. In this verse, the identity of the living being is clearly given. The living entity is the fragmental part and parcel of the Supreme Lord eternally. It is not that he assumes individuality in his conditioned life, and in his liberated state he becomes one with the Supreme Lord. He is eternally fragmented, sanatanaha. According to Vedic version, the Supreme Lord manifests and expands himself in innumerable expansions, of which the primary expansions are called as Vishnu Tattvas and the secondary expansions are called living entities. In other words, the Vishnu Tattva is the personal expansion and the living entities are the separated expansions. By his personal expansion, he is manifested in various forms like Lord Ram, Narasimhadev, Vishnu Murti and all the predominating deities in the Vaikuntha planet. The separated expansions, the living entities, are eternal servitors. The personal expansions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the individual identities of the God, are always present. Similarly, the separated expansions of living entities have their identities. So this verse is talking about the identity of the living entity. Often time when we go out, people ask this question, oh, you have this temple at Chowpatty, what is the qualification required to enter this temple? Do we need to become a member here? Do we need to pay some fees to become a member here? Isn't it? Whenever the question comes of visiting an institution, the question comes that what is the qualification or do you have the membership? We all have experienced that. We just can't enter any building like that. Even to enter an ordinary residential building, so much security checkup and everything is done. He makes a phone call and find out whether you are authorized. You are not just a trespasser, not just trying to do some mischief there. So much question is asked about the identity, right? Somebody was just telling me, they came from airport and when they entered the airport in the flight, you know, you have buy, what is the e-ticket? What is the e-ticket? E-ticket, right? So you have to show your identity card. So on the ticket, whether you are the same person, your photo and name should match. And somebody was telling me, this is not a big deal. I mean, such a foolish question, because now anybody can produce any identity card, isn't it? Your name is something and some other photo you attach and you show, okay, I am so and so. I am Arun Kumar, I am Deepak Kumar, I am this and I am that. Anything you can show. So identity is such a relative concept, who you are, right? So, but temple, people have this question, to come to your temple, do we also need qualification? But here is temple of Supreme Personality of Godhead Shri Krishna. What is the qualification required? Do we need some qualification? Sometimes people have this question, why you are putting security guard in the temple? Temple is open for everyone. Isn't it? So many people sometimes have this question. Why security guard is there? Temple is for everyone. So this understanding is there. Yes, temple is for everyone. Why temple is for everyone? Why anybody and everybody is allowed? Why there is no question of identity card? Nobody asks any identity. When somebody enters security, doesn't call Krishna. Oh, should I allow him? Does he belong to you or not? You know him or not? And nobody calls, make a call. Otherwise, if you go in the building in the front, security will call on the whichever floor, 13th floor, 14th floor. Does this person belong to you? Are you sure? Come and get him up. I will not leave him. But here Krishna doesn't come down and see, okay, it belongs to me, send him. Anybody is allowed. Why anybody is allowed? This identity is given. Living entities in this conditioned world are my eternal fragmental parts. They are my part and parcel. We have an eternal relationship going on. Eternal relationship as the master and the servant. So it says that according to Vedic version, there are two kinds of expansions. Supreme Lord has two kinds of parts, primary and secondary. Primary expansions are Vishnu Tattva and secondary expansions are called the living entities or Jiva Tattva. Then further I'll read the purport. As fragmental parts and parcels of the Supreme Lord, living entity also have fragmental portions of his qualities, of which independence is the one quality. Every living entity as an individual soul has his personal individuality and a minute form of independence. Right? So yes, this point is very clearly declared. The identity is fragmental part and parcel. So yes, this proclaim is made that okay, anybody is allowed in this temple. Anybody can come. Security is just there to make sure nobody is there with a, some bad mentality to create some mischief is not coming. Otherwise, everybody is allowed. Anybody is allowed. All kind of living entities, all kind of community, caste, species, anybody, not species, only human beings are allowed. We can't allow others, otherwise again a problem. But God is there for everyone. Everyone. So then the point is, second point which is raised is, yes, he is declaring, Mamai Vamsha Jiva Loke. You are my part and parcel. But the second quality which is mentioned is, the moment it says you are my part and parcel, means you share my opulences. You share my qualities. In minuteness. But you share my qualities. Even in mundane sense, just looking at the sun, you can say, people are sitting together, you can say, okay, this man is this man's father. By some resemblance is there. Some quality, physical level is shared, right? The way they speak, you know, you can immediately understand they have some relationship. So in a physical level, there is some quality which is shared. Even in this relationship between God and us, God is supremely independent. Nobody controls God. But one minute fraction of that quality of independence is there in the living entity also. So living entity also has their minute independence, is one of the quality, fragmental portion. So yes, the gates are open for everyone. Anybody is allowed in the living, in the temple of God, in the temple of Krishna, anybody is allowed. But then the question is independence. Choice is given. Yes, you are allowed. So many people are passing by. Who decides to come in? That is the choice. Who decides to walk inside? I remember when in childhood, my father would come from his business at night, you know. Children are there at home waiting, father will come. And sometimes mother is also working, come back home. So father and mother and come and sit there and relaxing in the evening. So the choice is there with the children. Father are there to give, mother is there to give shelter, to give all love, all affection. So the child wants, this is independent. The father has come and sitting there. Okay, come. I am there. All the time for you. My evening is for you. The whole evening, the whole weekend is for you. But then it is the independence of the child whether to come and take advantage of that affection or not. So some children are very attached to the parents. As soon as they see parents, they want some time. And some parents, they are there all the time, giving them time. But they are running out. The whole weekend they are out. When the parents come back, they are out. So that is like independence. Independence is there for the living entities. So many living entities are walking out on the road. Very few turn in this direction. Oh, there is a temple here. So every living entity as an individual soul has its personal individuality and a minute form of independence. By misuse of that independence, one becomes a conditioned soul. And by proper use of independence, he is always liberated. In either case, he is qualitatively eternal as the Supreme Lord. In his liberated state, he is free from his material condition and he is under the engagement of transcendental service unto the Lord. But in his conditioned life, he is dominated by the material modes of nature and he forgets the transcendental loving service of the Lord. As a result, he has to struggle very hard to maintain his existence in the material world. So then, the third point comes. First, we discuss the conception of identity. Then we discuss the conception of independence. Yes, the doors are open, but choice is up to you. Choice is up to us whether we turn to the Lord or not. He is ready to give all love and affection. If one misuses that independence and one does not want to turn to the Lord, then he becomes a conditioned soul. And if properly uses the independence, then he becomes liberated. In the liberated state, he is freed from material condition and he is under the engagement of transcendental service unto the Lord. Right? In his conditioned state, he is dominated by the material modes of nature and he forgets the transcendental loving service of the Lord. As a result, he has to struggle very hard to maintain his existence in the material world. So this story comes in the Shastras. One time, our demigod Indra, he was very nicely enjoying in the heavenly planets. The heavenly planets are so nice, there is no misery there. Everybody, so much opulence, so much enjoyment. Everybody is fully enjoying there, all kind of pleasures are there. No disease, no old age, you always remain youthful. Always all the youthful pleasures are available for you. So Indra was enjoying there and one time he was cursed to become a hog. Now we don't see hogs so commonly in Bombay, isn't it? Bombay hogs are not there. But those who have experienced hogs or pigs, what is their condition? So one time he was cursed to become a hog. So he was loitering in the streets as a hog with all the she-hogs and all the family members of his species. So he was loitering and enjoying the streets, enjoying the dirty lanes. And so he fell down and he was living with his family there in the hog family. And who came to take him? Brahmaji. Brahmaji came to take him. So Brahmaji came down and he said, "Come on, what are you doing, Indra? Come back, finish now. We cursed you, but now you come back." So he said, "Oh, how can I come back? So much nice family is there, and my wife is there, my children is there. Come on, Indra, you are Indra, come back. Come back to the planet, heavenly planet. So much pleasure is available." "No, no, this is nice family. Let me enjoy here. Let me struggle nicely here. Why should I go there?" Sometimes we invite people to the temple and people says, "Why should we come to the temple? You are just like parasites living in the society. Whole day just chanting and dancing and eating and sleeping. That's all you are doing. Struggle hard, make your money, make your food, do work, struggle hard in this world and then fulfill your needs." So this tendency to struggle hard, people become so addicted to this conception of enjoyment in the kingdom of God doesn't appeal to them. Here Indra is so nicely enjoying and he comes down as a hog and he gets so addicted to the hog, he is given higher pleasures. "Okay, come on, come back." He doesn't want to because he's got the habituated to such lower pleasures. But similarly here he is giving, choice is yours. When one is in the material world, he becomes so conditioned that he has to struggle so hard. It says, "Mana shasthani indriyani prakriti sthani karshati." How he is struggling hard? Mana shasthani indriyani. His mind and senses. He is struggling very hard with the six senses, which includes the mind. It's like a man. There is a nice photo. There is a nice picture somewhere. Like a man who is tied by six ropes in different directions. Can you imagine six ropes are tying us and they are pulling in different directions? Six senses. The sense eyes, sense of touch, sense of smell, sense of taste, They're all demanding, making different demands from us and pulling us in different directions. Come on, satisfy these desires of senses, desires of the mind. And pulling in different directions is like Mana Shastani Indriyani Prakriti Sthani Karshati. Karshati means he's struggling hard. Fighting with these sense, six senses, mind and the other senses. So the choice is ours. It says, in the liberated state, he is freed from this material condition and he is under the engagement of transcendental service unto the Lord. Isn't it? Transcendental service unto the Lord. Like now we are sitting here. What are we doing? Discussing something from Bhagavad Gita. One may say, what a waste of time. Do something more practical. So much in this world to do. So much activities going on outside. Here you come in these four walls where absolute peace is there. Just read some book which was written some 5,000 years back. What is the point? So the conception of what is this transcendental service unto the Lord doesn't sink into the heart of the conditioned soul, because conditioned soul has developed such a tendency to work hard in this material world under the influence of six senses. So the independence is ours. Indra was given the independence. Come back. He said, no, I'm happy here. I am living like a hog here. Very good. Okay, stay as a hog. Independence is given. Call is given. Lord is calling. He is calling at every moment. I remember when we used to... In North India, many people go to Vaishno Devi. I don't know how many of you have heard of this place. This is in Jammu, right? Jammu, no? That place, Vaishno Devi. So they used to call, you know, then people would go on a pilgrimage to Vaishno Devi. So everybody would call all their neighbors, come, we are going, we are taking a big bus, we are hiring, let's go all together. Nahi, abhi nahi jayenge. Jab mata ka bulawa aayega, to hi jayenge. And then they are doing the bhajan, chalo bulawa aaya. So all kind. And then they are trying to convince everyone, jab bulawa aayega, to jayenge. Here Krishna in Gita, verse after verse is calling. He's trying to explain the philosophy. And people are saying, jab bulawa aayega to jayenge. It's like a man come to your house with a whole briefcase full of, you know, dollars and all big currencies and pounds, and he says, here is the money. He's holding hand. Nahi, jab aap denge to lenge. Arre, he's giving, chappad farke, he's giving, you know, take it. Try to understand, use proper independence. Nahi, jab bhi ichha hogi tabhi lenge. Abhi to samay nahi aaya. So here in Gita, all these chapters, when we are selling Gita, nahi, ye Bhagwan ki ichha nahi hai. Arre, what ichha nahi hai? This marathon is there, we are selling Gita, we are right there on the doorstep. No, we can't take this Gita. Abhi to ichha nahi hai Bhagwan ki. So Bhagwan is doing full ichha, but our independence is misused. Misuse of independence. So, people are so happy, struggling hard, that a conditioned soul doesn't understand that here is a process available to come out of that struggle and a life of complete happiness. Another day I was preaching in some place and I was telling him that how we have to look for complete happiness, which is free from birth, old age, disease and death, which is free from miseries given by body and mind, miseries given by natural disturbances. He said, come on, then there is no adventure in life. If there is no misery, then there is no dynamics in life. There is no enjoyment in life. It's just like Indra, you know, staying as a hog. He's telling, what will I do as Indra? This life is so pleasurable. Hog in the dirty lanes, eating stool every day. Very nice. And somebody is offering, come on, here you can come and become Indra. Highest pleasures. No old age, no disease. Best of the pleasures available in the Indra lok. No. I am happy here. So here this choice is given. Whether you want to be dominated or you want to get liberated. But no. We don't want to read Gita. We don't want this philosophy. This is too much. Living entities, not only human beings and the cats and dogs, but even the greater controllers of material world, Brahma, Shiva and Vishnu, are all parts and parcels of the Supreme Lord. So the next question comes, okay, my identity is spirit soul. Second point is, I have to properly use my independence. Choice is up to me whether to struggle hard or to listen to the call of God. Who is the Supreme Lord? That is the next question comes. Whom to surrender? So he says, not only human beings and cats and dogs, but even the greater controllers, Brahma, Shiva and Vishnu, they are also parts and parcels of the Supreme Lord. They are all eternal and not temporary manifestations. The word karshati is very significant. The conditioned soul is bound up as though shackled by iron chains. He is bound up by the false ego, and the mind is the chief agent which is driving him in the material existence. When the mind is in the mode of goodness, his activities are the good, and when the mind is in the mode of passion, his activities are troublesome. And when the mind is in the mode of ignorance, he travels to the lower species of life. However, it is clear in this verse that conditioned soul is covered by a material body with the mind and senses. And when he is liberated, this material covering perishes. But his spiritual body manifests itself in its individual capacity. The following information is there in Madhyandhyana Shruti. When a living entity gives up the material embodiment, enters into the spiritual world, he revives his spiritual body. And in the spiritual body, he can see the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face. He can hear and speak to him face to face. And he can understand the Supreme Personality as he is. So now the conception of properly using independence and surrendering to the service of the Lord. Recently, I went to Mayapur Yatra, and His Holiness Radhanand Maharaj was giving a lecture in which he was telling, Krishna consciousness means seeing what you are seeing. You remember? He was telling in one lecture. Krishna consciousness means seeing what you are seeing. So somebody may think, okay, I properly used my independence, I came inside the gates of this temple. I entered this temple hall also. What did I see? Different people see different things, right? I remember like 5 years back, one of my uncles came from Delhi. And as soon as he entered the temple hall, he said, wow, beautiful. So much gold everywhere. He only saw these gold linings, you know, on all the altars. He said, beautiful. Huh? Where did you got these decorations done? Who came? Tell me. In my house also, I want to get it done. So the altar is open. Prabhupada is there. Instead of offering obeisances here to the Lord, he's seeing all the gold and seeing, oh, very nice. So much gold, you know. So, different people have different understanding. One time, one person came. So, when we enter the temple hall, the system is, first thing we do is we offer obeisances to Srila Prabhupada. Okay, before that, we offer obeisances to all the devotees. Very grateful. Okay, now here we have come to this holy association. This wonderful association to hear Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, which is going to give us complete happiness, spiritual bliss. So, we offer obeisances. Then we offer obeisance to Srila Prabhupada, who has given us these books, these literatures, to enlighten us. This man entered the temple hall and the first thing he did is he lifted up Prabhupada and walked away. He tried to steal the deity of Prabhupada. Can you imagine? So many people enter the temple and they have different conceptions. What is important in this temple? What is important? Some people come, they appreciate the carvings of the temple. Some people, they look at the paintings of the temple. So different people have different conceptions when they enter. What to see depends on the nature of consciousness. So here Prabhupada is giving this vision that when a living entity gives up his material embodiment, enters into the spiritual world, he revives his spiritual body. And in spiritual body, he can see the Supreme Personality face to face. Prabhupada explaining, This morning in some class I was hearing, he's explaining the meaning of Krishna. Yeah, this afternoon we were reading. Says, Krishna means all attractive, who attracts the attention of all. As soon as a person enters the temple, the first thing which should be mind is, I am going to see Krishna. But other than Krishna, so many things attract our attention. Because a person is under this material conditioning. So it says, when a living entity gives up this material embodiment, enters into spiritual world, In his spiritual body, he can see the Supreme Lord face to face. He can hear and speak to him face to face. And he can understand the Supreme Personality as he is. He can see the Supreme Lord. He can see Krishna. Another time, I got one of my friends to the temple and he was watching at all the deities. And I was telling him, introducing, here is Nityananda Prabhu, here is Gauranga Mahaprabhu, here is Gopinath, here is Adharani, Lalita Devi, Vishakha Devi, here is Gopalji. He said, what is the difference? All the faces look same to me. Then he's asking me, you don't get confused, this is Nityananda Prabhu or this is Gauranga Mahaprabhu or this is Gopinath. Only thing is their body is bent in different ways. Otherwise, if you remove the dress, all the bodies look same to me. That time I was also new, so I really got confused. I said, really? Huh? I never thought like that. Like many years back, I got this person. So he talks about seeing the Supreme Lord as he is. Understanding the Supreme Lord. So very difficult with this material senses when we are so much distracted in the outside world. First of all, to use the independence, enter the temple gate. After we enter the temple gate, so much distraction is there in different ways. Different kinds of people are there. Somebody was telling, one family came. They specially came to ISKCON to see how Westerners are dressed in Indian dress. How gents are dressed in dhoti kurta, how Western ladies are dressed in saris. That was a unique thing for them. And they brought their children and they are showing, hey, see that Prabhuji, he is not an Indian, he is dressed in dhoti kurta. And then, you know, this is such a imagination, he is coming and touching his body. He is getting special fun, you know, touching an American body. A child is coming and, you know, special. You know, and then he is telling, she is showing to the American ladies, you know, just see, they are dressed in saris, you know. And they are just looking and getting amazed by seeing that. So different kinds of attraction they find in this temple. So the question comes of independence, when they enter, so many different distractions are there. It is so difficult to fix someone, okay, come inside and here is Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, your eternal father, your eternal relationship which you have forgotten. It takes years to pull someone out of the tendency to struggle like a hog in the street and enjoy the spiritual bliss in association with Supreme Personality of Godhead. It takes so much hard work. So the point here is, seeing the Supreme Personality as he is, it's a long, long hard work. One has to give up his tendency to struggle in this material world. And then focus him to Supreme Lord Krishna, the center of all attraction. Just now you were singing Damodar Ashtakam. When the lamps, all of you offered the lamps. And one of the things I like, everything becomes dark. The only thing which remains light is the altar. So then everybody can focus on the Lord, right? But actually the whole pastime, for those of us who know the pastime, Damodar Ashtakam, Damodar Leela, it is all showing that how in Vrindavan, all the Vrajvasis, all the devotees, their attention is focused on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Everybody is thinking about Krishna. It is described in Vrindavan, when all the Vrajvasis are there, so many families are there, so many cowherd men are there, so many cowherd ladies, gopas and gopis are there. They all have their family, they have their children. And everybody is very centered around their family. Very much centered. So, everybody loves their children more than anything else. But in Vrindavan, it is described that Krishna is such a center of attraction for everyone that all the parents everywhere are thinking, I wish Krishna can be my son. They love Krishna more than their own sons. Everybody loves Krishna more than any other relationship. Krishna is a center of attraction for everyone. When they see everywhere, they see Krishna. When they get up in the morning, first thing they want to see is Krishna. When Krishna is not there whole day, they are thinking, when will Krishna come back? He has gone into the forest with the cows. When the evening Krishna is going to come back, they are all sitting and waiting, when Krishna will come back. So the whole thing they are thinking is about Krishna, Krishna and Krishna. That is the life force. We were singing another bhajan one day. What is that? Prana mora yugala kishora. Radha and Krishna is a life force, center of attraction, of all the devotees. Devotees' life is centered on the pleasure of Supreme Personality of Godhead, Shri Krishna. So that conception is given here to try to show what is the liberated condition. So I'll just read the last section and then we'll discuss one more point. So in the spiritual planets, everyone lives in body which is featured like Supreme Personality of Godhead. As far as bodily construction is concerned, there is no difference between part and parcel living entities and the Vishnu Murtis. In other words, at liberation, living entity gets a spiritual body. Living entity gets a spiritual body by the grace of Supreme Personality of Godhead. The words Mamai Vamsha are also very significant. The fragmental portion of the Supreme Lord is not like some material broken part. We have already understood in the second chapter, spirit cannot be cut into pieces. This fragment is not materially conceived. It is not like matter which can be cut into pieces and joined together again. So the conception is told here, the living entity is eternally fragment of the Lord. Not that after liberation, living entities merge and become one with the Lord. Eternally, they remain separate identities. Just like in this room, if the light is off and all the doors are closed and all the windows are closed, what do you see? You see something? What do you see? Only oneness. Everything is one. What is everything? Dark. You are walking. Of course, now we have this center pieces of this shine at the night. So you can see some light. Okay. But otherwise, if that is also not there, it is all wood. So everywhere is dark. You don't see people sitting in the white, different people sitting in, you know, some different colors of shirts and different colors of dresses and children and adults. You don't see anyone. Everybody looks one. You just walk straight and you stumble over people, right? Everything is one. Because in darkness, everything is one. But as soon as you switch on the light, what happens? You see everything in the right perspective. Everything is seen in the right perspective. Similarly, when spiritual consciousness is awakened, then one can see the identity of living entities as spiritual part and parcels of the Supreme Lord. Eternal part and parcels. Lord is different, Jiva is different. Krishna is different, living entities are different. Each living entity has a very unique, special relationship with Krishna. That relationship is very clearly seen when the consciousness is awakened on a spiritual platform. So as long as we are distracted in this material world by the material conditionings, as we discussed, people are so much distracted, so difficult to see Krishna. Even while seeing Krishna, they don't see Krishna. Even while seeing Krishna, what do we see? So many other things on the altar, right? So difficult to focus on Krishna. So much material conditioning is there. So how to awaken that light? Now, just like there is a switchboard there, you open it and switch on the light. Right? So simple. Isn't it? As simple. Just switch on the light. So how? Like in the morning, around 4:20, everybody sleeps here in temple and switch on the light. So sometimes we switch on the light also, still nobody wakes up. Some people do not wake up because they don't realize light is on. Eyes are closed. Right? So to wake up, just light is also not, switching on light doesn't work. What do you need? You need alarm clock, right? Some sound, or some devotee comes, you know, he makes clap like this. Wakes up everyone. Get up now, it's time to wake up. Lord is also going to wake up. Wake up. And sometimes that noise is also not enough. So you have to go into his ear. You have to wake him up very loud. Some people are so deep sleeper, even if you take a mridanga and beat, he will still not wake up. And you have to shake him, right? So, those who are deep sleepers, very difficult to wake up. So, Krishna understood, in Kali Yuga, everybody is sleeping very deeply. Everybody is so highly distracted by material and energy, it is not easy to wake up these souls to spiritual consciousness. It is not easy to attract them to this temple and give them shelter at the Supreme Lord's lotus feet. Very difficult to make conditioned soul understand this philosophy. These lines are very difficult to understand. So Lord knew that. Kali Yuga, very difficult. Kali Ra Dosha Nidhe Rajan. Kali Yuga is full of faults. Prayan Alpa Ayusha Manda Sumanda Matayo Manda Bhagya Upadrita. People are short-lived. They are always fighting among themselves. Then they are quarrelsome. They are lazy. They are less intelligent. Always disturbed. Even if they want to come to temple, always disturbed. One disturbance is right there in the pockets. So difficult to focus on what is written in Bhagavad Gita, in Srimad Bhagavatam. I also studied the class, I got a mobile call. So much disturbance. So Krishna understood, very difficult. So Kalera Dosha Nidhe Rajan Asti He Eko Mahadguna. So then he understood. When people are sleeping so deep, you need some powerful vibration. Shake them up. Come on, wake up to the spiritual experience. You can tell everyone, okay, now close your eyes and meditate. Meditation, how will that help? Nobody will wake up. They'll go further into sleep. Right? And just like now in some lecture, sometimes I'm seeing people are closing their eyes. So it's natural. So difficult to remain awake. So asti hi eko mahat guna. There is one mahan gun. Kirtanad eva krishnasya. Very soon we are going to do. Kirtanad eva krishnasya. Just by chanting the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Kirtanad eva krishnasya mukta sangha paramvrajet. So one should not think that this sound is some ordinary sound. It is transcendental sound vibration. Transcendental sound. Golokera premadana hari nama sankirtana. A sound which is coming from the spiritual world. The world of spiritual planets. This sound is coming. Just by coming in touch with this sound, the spiritual consciousness is awakened. So this is explained here. Spiritual consciousness is awakened. In Kali Yuga, when everybody is sleeping so deeply, just like everybody is sleeping so deeply, you need some powerful sound to wake him up, some powerful vibration, shake him right to the core of his existence. This Hare Krishna Mahamantra is like that Mahamantra. That's why it's not called mantra, it's called Mahamantra. The more one chants, the more one experiences the spiritual bliss. Prabhupada explains, anybody, anywhere, even a child can chant. Anybody can chant. These children sitting there, even you can make them chant. It's very simple. Anybody who has the power to speak, power to chant, he can chant the holy names of the Lord. And just by chanting these holy names, Mukta Sangha Param Vrajet. Mukta Sangha, the conception came of liberation. He gets liberated from this struggle. From this conception of enjoying like an hog in this material world, one gets awakened to highest spiritual consciousness. Just by this transcendental sound, just by hearing this sound, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. It's like the more one chants this sound, more one takes shelter of this sound, the more clearly one vibrates this mantra, one is awakened to deeper and deeper aspects. And one can focus his consciousness more and more nicely on Supreme Personality of Godhead. And as we discussed, Krishna consciousness means seeing what you are seeing. Then when one comes in this temple, one gets a spiritual experience. So this temple, the whole existence of this temple is all about transcendental sound vibration. Hearing and chanting this transcendental sound vibration. We are discussing Gita, that is transcendental sound, which awakens a person from the struggling existence of material world. We are chanting this Mahamantra, this awakens the spirit soul from the deep sleep in this material existence, where he is struggling with all the miseries of material world. So thus, this verse enlightens us on the identity of the living entity. So let us participate in the kirtan. by chanting this Mahamantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Jai Shri Radha Gopinath Bhagawan ki jai, Shri Nitai Gaur Chandra Bhagawan ki jai, Shri Gopal ji ki jai, Shri